We're going to be reminded of God's three steps. This is how God most often works in people's lives that he wants to use. And the word use, it's not the, I mean, that kind of has some negative context. It's how God works in those people's lives that and he knows who will respond to him. And so it's an all-knowing work that he does, but it's how he works in those lives, in your lives, in order to work through them, use them, and so that we can find the fulfillment of why we were created, the purpose of why we live, then that we can enjoy life the fullest, because this is finding what God has made us to be and to do. And in this process, God has three steps. First of all, and we're going to look at the life of Moses as an illustration of these three steps of God. Moses lived 120 years. If you divide that in by three, you get 40-year segments. And his life divides precisely at 40 years. You see God go from one step to the second step to the third step. And so that's why we'll use Moses as the example of God's three steps. First of all, God calls us. Moses, the name Moses means drawn out. He was to be the deliverer of God's people who were enslaved in Egypt. Somewhere along the line, the scripture makes clear that Moses understood what his role was to be. And how he came to know that, we don't know, but when his first act, which we'll talk about in just a moment, he was aware that he had been called to be the deliverer of God's people. It's interesting that Stephen, in the book of Acts, when he gives that last sermon before he is stoned as a martyr for Christ, he says this of Moses. He said, Moses was one who was powerful in words and works. That is most interesting. Moses was powerful in words and works. God calls each of us. God calls each one of you. First of all, to have faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And hopefully we've answered that call. And if not, hopefully at the earliest possible age, they'll answer that call and accept Jesus into one's heart as Savior and Lord. Then we have that basic call to live by faith, to moment by moment depend upon the Lord and to deny ourselves. God constantly is calling us to do that. Then from those two basic callings, God is calling us to be part of a church. And I believe he wants us to be part of a church that's founded solely on Christ. Not tradition, not our own efforts, not what the best talents and abilities and programs that we can come up with, but solely be built upon a utter dependence upon Christ and denial of self. I believe God calls us to that and wants us to be about that. And then as we follow Christ, he continually is calling us along the way. It's like he's leading and he's calling us to follow him. And then in our individual lives, he leads us in a little different ways. To be a daughter, a son, a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, mother, father, a student at school, a person at work. We can find ourselves called to, in fact, every situation we find ourselves in the course of a day, if we are looking to God, we have been called into that situation and God wants us to use us in that situation. So God calls us. That's the first step. The second step is that God breaks us. Moses felt like he had been called to be the deliverer of his people. And so one day when he saw one of his fellow countrymen, fellow Israelites being abused by an Egyptian, he killed the Egyptian. And he thought that his people would realize and recognize him as the deliverer who had been called by God. And yet we know that's not what happened. The people made it known what had taken place, and Moses had to flee for his life and spent the next 40 years on the backside of a desolate place for 40 years as a shepherd. Just as a point here, just to interject it here, when God breaks us, He does it lovingly. It's not a harsh. It's not meant. It's hard. When He breaks us, and He has to continually break us over and over again, it is hard, but it's not loveless. It's full of love. He does it lovingly. Even when He's breaking Moses, because Moses had tried to deliver God's people, fulfill His calling in his own strength. And he was able to just kill one Egyptian, and not one person went free from it, except him escaping for his life, but it wasn't freedom. He was a fugitive. God had a breaking of that, of trying to be what God had called him to be in his own self. But God breaks us lovingly. Here is part of the reason you have difficulty in your life. It's not a sign that God doesn't love you. It's a sign that God does love you, and He thinks you're special, and He wants to use you in your life to bring other people unto Him. And so as part of that process, to be able to use you, He has to break you. But He does it lovingly, and never more than just enough to where we're broken and where we need to be reliant upon Christ. And we can see it in Moses, because he fled for his life, and where did he end up? When he finally exhausted himself, he found himself in the land of Midian, among a people there, found a wife there, ended up having a father-in-law. Guess what? The father-in-law believed in the same God he did. And the father-in-law ministered to Moses. You know what it turns out? Where he ended up? In Midian. And the people of Midian, they were descendants of Abraham. From Abraham's second wife after Sarah died, Keturah. Midian was Abraham and Keturah's fourth child. So the priest of Midian worshipped the same God and believed in the same God that Moses did. And Moses found sanctuary there and was able to go through this breaking process for 40 years. It was so broken that finally at the end of those 40 years, God spoke to him out of the burning bush, and God was telling him, now it's time for you to be that deliverer. When you're at the end of yourself, now you can look to me, and I will deliver the people through you, and that's how you're going to be the deliverer. And that's how each of us fulfill the calling that we just talked about a moment ago. God says, I will do it through you. It'll be you, but I will do it. I will do it through you. And Moses said to the Lord at one point, he said, I am pleading, Lord. I am not being a sufficient one, either in the past or recently or for when you began to speak to me. I myself am being weak voiced and slow-tongued. Here I describe himself now, totally unreliant upon himself. And that's what God is going to want to do with you. He's going to want to crush you of your conceit, of your self-reliance, your self-dependence, until you utterly depend upon Him. Just want to interject, this is an important part of what I think the Lord wants us to hear tonight. And that is, as you step forth then, having been called and having been broken and getting ready to move into the third step that God does in our lives, this is important. God wants you to know what your credentials are. On what grounds do you have to do what God calls you to do? What grounds did Moses have to come now and go to Pharaoh and demand the freedom of God's people? What was his credentials? For his first 40 years, he grew up in the palace. He had the top credentials that the world could offer. He was a grandson of the Pharaoh, adopted. He grew up with the best education, the highest whatever you could have. He was royalty. He had the best credentials that he could have, and yet that's not what enabled him to go stand before Pharaoh. Now, God may have you to obtain some worldly credentials, just like he did with Moses. He had Moses to have that first 40 years so that Moses could be in the place that God wanted him to be so that the Lord could use him, but it wasn't those first 40 years alone and his credentials, worldly credentials alone, that gave him the right, the standing by which to do what God had told him to do. Neither was it the second 40 years. Neither was it the 40 years that he was a shepherd, that he was a nobody. The only thing he had was a staff in his hand. He had nothing. But you know what? That didn't disqualify him from being used by God. The credentials that we have to be used by the Lord is the Lord himself. If we will walk the way, if we will hold to the Lord, then we can step forward and do what God has called us to do, whether we have worldly credentials or we have none. We don't do it because we have them. We don't not do it because we don't have them. Regardless which position we find ourselves in, we step forward and do what God has called us to do after he's called us and broken us is based solely upon him and what he is going to do through us. Because the third step is God raises us up. Once we have been called, once we have been broken, God raises us up. And God reminded Moses that he was the one who made the mouth. And it wasn't going to be him speaking after all. It was going to be God speaking through him. And God said to Moses, he said, "Now go. I myself will open up your mouth and I will instruct you what you will be about to speak." So now Moses, in this last part of his life, when God is raising him up to be used by the Lord, now he goes before Pharaoh. And he says to the king of the world, he says, "These things is saying the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go." And Pharaoh wouldn't listen for 10 plagues, but he finally did. And then he changed his mind when the people got to the Red Sea, the border of it. Pharaoh changed his mind. He went with all of his vast military. He was the lone superpower of the world. And he chased with all the superpower military that he had at his disposal. He came after the children of Israel. And they said, "What are we going to do?" And Moses said to the people, "Take courage. Stand. And see the salvation of God, what he's about to do for you this day." And he spread out his arms, and the sea parted, and the people went through. And that old, drawn-out Moses, with the staff in his hand, walked out on the other side of the Red Sea, and God's people came out too. And they were drawn out, and he fulfilled the calling that God had given to him in his life. That, if we have the privilege and we take advantage of it, that's how God will work in your life. The three steps. He's calling you, he's breaking you, and then he wants to raise you up.